Paul?
Well, that's great, Pat. You know, I always love this time of year because it's like what I call the interseason. You've got baseball starting to get really hot and heavy, and you have training camps opening yesterday. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about something I'm going to be doing. So I'll be missing next week's show. I'm going to the Pittsburgh Steelers training camp, not in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, but as they say it, Latrobe.
Yeah.
Latrobe is a beautiful town. I've never been there, but I understand the Steelers train at the College of St. Vincent. You might want to crank up my microphone levels here because I don't think we're getting heard here. I think it might be a little better now.
Now that seems to be working. I don't know what microphone this is.
Well, which microphone are you on? I was cranking up.
This is three.
Well, let me do this. Can you hear it now?
Let's see what microphone three does for me. Not too much. It's
okay.
Not really coming up.
How about if I put two up?
Oh, there you go. I think that might work a little better. Although, who knows what these...
Well, this is mic two, and that's supposed to be mic four. So I'm going to put them all up.
There you go. Let's...
So the College of St. Vincent, do they always train there?
The Steelers have trained there, I think, for the last 50 years.
Okay.
And it's a real tradition because the Steelers have a Chuck Knox Field at the college. They have an Art Rooney Student Center.
Now, where exactly is this in relation to Pittsburgh?
It is about 40 miles east.
Oh, so it's really close to Pittsburgh.
You bet. It's really exciting to me because they get about 8,000 people to come watch what they call Friday Night Lights, a new tradition, you know, that the Steelers have instituted on Friday night, August 2, I think it is, at 7:00. The Steelers will be holding a scrimmage between the defense and their offense. Under the lights in Latrobe High School Stadium, and it's a benefit. I called out there, and it really, you know, the people out there seem very nice. Now, Latrobe is famous for three other things. First of all, it's the home of Arnold Palmer, and he has a golf course there, of course, and an airstrip. Secondly, it's the home of Mr. Rogers. Remember Mr. Rogers at the beautiful day
goodness,
in the neighborhood?
Mr. Rogers and his neighborhood.
Well, your children probably watched that. And it's also the original home of Rolling Rock Beer, which came from the glass-lined vats of old Latrobe. I've got to say it right because I want to sound like a native. Now, I bet you that Latrobe has a little bit of the same small-town flavor that a place like Green Bay has.
Well, I think I'm probably it's even smaller, but the fact is we used to laugh about Rolling Rock Beer. But it may be, I think I may have mentioned a number of times that the Green Bay Packers always had their summer camp at St. Norbert's College.
And where is that?
St. Norbert's College is in De Pere, which is right next to Green Bay. But my husband Dave started off at... St. Norbert's, and so they would be out practicing football, meaning the college team, at the same time the Packers would be there. So he, you know, casually met and talked to so many of the Packers that we know that are now members of the Packer, not only the Packer Hall of Fame, but the National Hall of Fame. And, of course, I've also mentioned how often these guys went out to drink, and at the bars around De Pere and Green Bay, and of course you could go out to the bars at 18. So it was not at all unusual to see these guys out breaking curfew, which they often did, and drinking.
Curfew? What's that?
But well, back in the day, there were many of them that there's some pretty famous stories, including the one from Bart Starr. I think that was the first Super Bowl when he got up and went down to get the newspaper, and I think it was Jerry Kramer who was coming in, didn't think that he'd have to play the next day. I think it was Jerry. But in any event, I think that's fun. You know, in Green Bay, they always have, so many kids that are coming out to watch the practice. I'm not sure that they still practice at St. Norbert's. They may now be practicing over, you know, at the stadium. But it's very close. And talk about small town. I mean, that really is a small town.
Well, yeah, I think there's only about 5,000 or 6,000 people in La Trobe, as they call it. And it's near Greensboro. It's a beautiful part of Pennsylvania. I have not been out there much, but I've been out to the Ohio-Pile State Park, the Ocahanie River, Falling Water, the beautiful Frank Lloyd Wright House is out in that part of the
world. Oh, is
that
close? Falling River?
Falling Water.
Excuse me.
About 50 miles.
Okay.
And we've actually toured it. If you want a nice long weekend out in western Pennsylvania, Falling Water is a good 3 or 4 hour tour. There are wonderful bed and breakfasts out there, including something called near Greensboro called the Old Stone Lodge that is allegedly haunted. My wife and I stayed there. And we were very disappointed that it wasn't haunted. And I had a tremendous amount of anxiety about haunting because I didn't expect, you know, a ghost that was famous. I expected one of my parents to say how disappointed they were with me or something like that. But moving along
Moving along, one of the things, and I thought maybe we'd wait until John, who promises he'll be here today, but, you know, July 31st is right around the corner.
That it is.
And that's the baseball trade deadline. So
that's
I thought
right.
Maybe we could spend some time talking about that. And, you know, also you know that you and John are the big baseball fans. But one of the things that, you know, this Mike Trout is really on a tear.
Oh, yeah, Mike Trout. But I think Mike Trout, having re-signed with the Angels for a very fat contract, I don't think he wants to leave. He's a star. He's playing for a team where that isn't all that great. So he gets to go home in October and do whatever he wants. And I don't think he comes back to Millville, New Jersey. And, you know, he's making a lot of money, and he's in L.A. You know, how much better can it get for this guy? I think he's a tremendous ball player. I think he is a very, very skilled hitter.
Well, I mean, is it true? I mean, I read something that he actually is making 100-mile-an-hour throws to the plate.
I'm not surprised. He has a cannon for an arm.
So he's, you know, overtaking maybe everyone else for the most valuable player.
Wouldn't surprise me, you know. But, you know, the MVP is always sort of skewed towards the teams that finish really well. Go to the World Series or go into the one, at least pass the wild card game. And every now and then, somebody who is really valuable to a team that hasn't had a great year wins an MVP. But I wanted to talk about a couple sports oddities because you know how
okay.
much I like
oddball. Oh, yes, obviously.
Stuff. You know, in the first month of the season, the Seattle Mariners were a surprise. During a winter when Jerry DePoto, their general manager, said he tried to reimagine his roster, which means he got rid of all his good players. The Mariners just took off like a rat down a drain pipe out the gate.
Wait a minute. Is that a good takeoff or a bad takeoff?
A good takeoff. You ever see a rat go down a drain pipe? They're flying. They're going really fast. So the Mariners win 13 of their first 15, and they're setting the league on fire. Out in the American League West. And all the Mariner fans are saying, you know, these guys haven't been in the playoffs since 2001. Space oddity. Seattle oddity. So that's like one of the longest of not being in the playoffs in North American professional sports. I guess I haven't thought about the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Mariners had real good reason to feel optimistic because in the division era, only 8 other teams opened 13-2. So all of them finished above 500. Six went to the postseason, including one of the two that didn't. The 1994 Braves had their season cut short because of the strike that canceled the World Series. So the Mariners aren't going to the playoffs, not even going to finish over 500.
Really?
In fact, they may lose 100 games this year. So they're probably going to get rid of more talent between now and July 31st.
Well, that's the question. And one of the maybe we can't do it now, but one of the things that I was hoping when John is here, because you two are such baseball gurus, is for you to talk about the worst trades in baseball. And maybe we should do that next week, or if you're not going to be here next week. But at some point, I can certainly see and talk about some of the worst trades that I thought happened in football. But in baseball, it would be interesting.
We'll get there.
Okay. Oh, you're doing it.
I promise we'll get there.
Okay.
But, you know, the Mariners may do something. It hasn't happened in 110 years. They spent 33 days in first place in the American League West.
Wow.
They fell out when they tripped over the Texas Rangers on April 28th. You know, only one team in history that finished with 100 seasonal losses spent more time in first place. And these were the 1908 New York Islanders, who later, of course, become the New York Yankees. And these are the Highlanders of 08 finished dead last with over 100 losses. Their team was included Wee Willie Keeler.
I mean, not 2008.
No.
No, talking 1908. About 1908.
1908. Wee Willie Keeler, who probably nobody remembers. Guys named Queenie O'Rourke, Hippo Vaughn. You got to wonder about that guy's appetite. And Slow Joe Doyle. I guess that's how he pitched. So the Highlanders were 20-15 when they went to bed on June 1. One of 38 days they spent in first place. From that point forward, they went 33-31-88. And no other team that lost 100 games ever spent more than 9 days in first place. That's the fate the Mariners are trying to avoid. So they won their 16th game of the season on April 20, and they wouldn't win their next 16 for 2 months until June 19.
Wow. So they went, from April 20th, and they lost everything?
They lost
every game.
They only won 15 games until June 19th.
Oh, so they did win some games, but only
some.
15.
Y'all. But, you know, here's what happened. They traded their first baseman, Robbie Cano, to the Mets. They traded their shortstop, Gene Segura, to the Phillies. They traded their one ace pitcher, James Paxton, to the Yankees. And I forget where they traded their closer, Edwin Diaz.
So why would they have done that? And are they among some of the worst trades?
I think those were terrible trades. I think that happens is they wanted to shed payroll because they have some good people in the minors. That's my best guess.
But at what point did they get rid of these guys? When they were winning?
All in the offseason, before the season started.
Okay.
So they basically were starting with a bunch of minor leaguers.
So it looked like they were great. It looked like, hey, wait, we're winning all of these games. You know, we're setting the league on fire. Hey, look, we were doing the right thing when we got rid of all of these guys.
Yeah,
and
but
then it
turns. You know, it's sort of like leaving the milk out for too long. You know, maybe you can drink it the next day, but the day after that, you know, that's why we have cats. The important thing.
No,
though,
that's why we have refrigerators.
That's right. But once the milk turns, not even the cat's going to want it. But the really cool thing was that people were starting to get worked up about the Seattle Mariners. Remember,
well,
they have a good team in the Seahawks.
And when they're
and they're going to get NHL hockey in a year or so. So and I forget who the NBA team is in Seattle, but the end result is interesting. Here you are dumping veterans, dumping high salaries, and you figure you're going to have a mediocre year. Your team takes off like a rocket. Suddenly fans are interested, and then they get their hearts broken when the team goes 31. That next 31 games, they only win five or six of them. They're barely, and if they finish over 500, it'll be a big surprise. But they're headed for the bottom of the American League West like a stone thrown in the water. There's something else interesting I wanted to talk about because the Major League Baseball held its amateur draft last week. And if you look at the results, they sent a real message to a lot of young ball players. If you want to play in Major League Ball, stay in college.
Well, isn't there going to be, or hasn't there been a new rule Because most of, if you go back in time, you know, some of the best baseball players came right out of high school, or maybe didn't even graduate from high school. I thought there was
I don't know if there's a rule or not, but, you know, it's interesting. A lot of times in high school, there are kids who, you know, they might be talented, but teams are evaluating talent differently now. A lot of times in high school, these kids need to get a little stronger, but there's other things they need to work out mentally, you know, about what's important and what's not important, self-discipline, taking care of themselves, things like that. So they go to college, they perform for 3 years, and all of a sudden, the teams feel a whole lot better about drafting these amateur players. Plus, in college, they're getting very professional coaching. They're getting to be a little bit more focused. They're getting to be a little bit more mature. And they're also getting probably better training in terms of working out, in terms of working on technique, because baseball is so much about technique, whether you're throwing or batting. And they're just more mature and more experienced. Now, every now and then, you're going to get the phenom who's 19 and who throws 100-mile-an-hour fastballs accurately and has a good curve. But very often, you can't call them run-of-the-mill talents, but a lot of these coveted high school picks just have a way of not panning out. Sometimes it's maturity. Sometimes they get hurt or they just can't hack it.
And, you know, interesting that you're saying this because, you know, growing up in small towns in the Midwest, one of the things that was well known was that the kids who were good football players who wanted to go to college had to do a little something in high school academically. And I knew a couple great baseball players who really hoped to get to the majors. But they didn't think they had to do anything in high school because they really expected to come out of high school and, you know, start playing in the minors and then, you know, hopefully getting up to the majors. So and I understood now that the baseball is switching, and maybe they're just doing it because of maturity and other things, but I thought that they were trying to put in a rule, if they hadn't put it in already, that they weren't going to start drafting kids right out of high school.
Well, I think that's a mistake, unless the player...
You mean a mistake to draft out of high school?
High school, yeah.
I agree.
There are some people who succeeded, and I'll give you some examples.
Oh, there are a number of them. In the old players.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many of the old players ever went to college?
Right. But look at this. Ken Griffey Jr., no need for any more seasoning when Seattle Mariners made him their number one pick out of Cincinnati's Muller High School in 87.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Chipper Jones when the Braves picked him up in 90. The Yankees got Derek Jeter in 92 right out of high school.
Right.
And Alex Rodriguez in 1993. And, you know, current players like the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw, great pitcher.
But let
and
me
the guy
also.
We talked about Mike Trout, the Angels, also skipped college and had tremendous success.
But, you know, let's also look at how that's going to impact all of these kids from, let's pick out, because it's such a big place where kids come from. To play Major League Baseball, and that's the Dominican Republic. So if, in fact, they would have a rule that kids had to go to college, how are they going to work that out when you have so many kids in, let's say, Dominican Republic, that, you know, they just don't go to college and they come from poor families and there may not be, at least down there, the kinds of scholarships they can get. It'll be a really interesting change, because you also have people who are, you know, bright guys, baseball players who just never went to college.
And you know something, there is no rule prohibiting the drafting of young men right out of high school into baseball.
But that's the question of whether or not they're going to institute that type of a rule.
I don't know. I don't think that they are, because as you correctly point out, that would preclude a lot of people, a lot of young ball players from outside the United States very talented.
I thought they were going to try to change that rule.
No.
Now, I noticed that with the hockey players, for example, the real push in hockey, and I didn't realize this until my grandson was recruited out of high school to play in the juniors before he went to college. So what they seem to be doing now is really pushing the best kids to go into, and I call it juniors, I'm not sure what they call it, this junior hockey, and then they can stay there until they're 21, then go to college. Now, that's a really very interesting way to do it, certainly different than what happened in Canada traditionally. Although in Canada traditionally, the best kids would go to live with another family in another town, and they would work their way up that way. But this league did the same thing. In other words, these kids would go to the various towns where they were playing and live with a family and play hockey. And that was their job for most of them for a couple years after high school, and then hopefully get recruited from some of the best hockey schools.
Oh, there's no question that that's the way it worked in Canada for a long time, and I understand the need to cultivate talent for the leagues, but a lot of these kids find themselves at 22 or 23 in the low minors or cut, and because they focused on hockey for so long, they don't have any other way to make a living. So they find themselves taking menial jobs or going back to the farm or the mine or what have you. Canada's a different place than the U.S. in many respects, neither good nor bad, just different. I will tell you that when I played in a tournament in 1971 out in Thunder Bay, we stayed. The Temple University Hockey Club that was invited, that I was a member of, stayed in somebody's stayed in the house. And we got divided up into a bunch of houses. And the family that I stayed with, the next-door neighbors had a young man who was about 17. And he was from British Columbia. And he was considered to be someone who the Red Wings were really hot on. He was playing in one of the junior teams in Thunder Bay, and in the mid-season after playing 30 games, he had 40 goals and about 28 assists. I watched him play, and I actually got to play against him, and he was blazingly fast on the ice. We need to take some commercial breaks here, Pat.
Yes,
I think
we might
have to hit that money button, don't we?
Let's not avoid this. So.
Okay, well, we've got to keep our sponsors happy so we can stay on the air and keep the lights on, right?
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterton is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Hey, let's talk football, Pat.
Oh, let's
training
talk
camp
football.
Has started. What's the scoop with the Packers?
Now, I really don't. I'm holding my enthusiasm. One
curbing
of the things,
your enthusiasm?
Well, curbing it, holding it, whatever. One of the things that's amazing to me is, you know, preseason, at least for the Packers, starts on August 8th. Do you know how close we are to August 8th? And the Packers, all of their preseason games are on Thursdays.
Well, how close are we to August 8th?
Very close.
We are a Chicago Bears missed field goal close to August 8th. Clunk.
Yeah, it's and of course I, as I've said before, I'm holding, or you know, whatever I'm doing, I'm waiting till after the first two Packer games. But as we were talking, they're going to be playing out here this year.
Well, let's hope so. You know, the Eagles are having a good training camp. It opened just the other day. On Wednesday, the entire 90-man roster showed up at NovaCare Center to check in. And, you know, yesterday and today were the first 2 days of practice. As you might have expected, Doug Peterson, the coaching staff, always gives the team a light day the first time around. Then what happens is it's an hour, no contact, because the team's had a long break since the mini camp in early June.
But let me ask you, do they practice outside or inside?
I don't know. I've never been to the NovaCare Center. I think it's indoors.
Because one of the things that I'm finding with the kids is with this heat, you know, it's really dangerous to be practicing outside. And I know with my grandson, you know, I think that they've been practicing outside. Frankly, they should have not had practices a few days last week because it was so hot. But we were talking about the Packers, and they're actually playing the Giants on December 1st. So, you know, that's not the 25th or the Packers also are playing the Detroit Lions. Well, they're playing them after Christmas. But the Monday night, December 23rd, is when they play the Vikings. That's that Monday night football. And they're in Minneapolis. I would actually like to see a Minneapolis game, a Packer-Minneapolis game, in Minneapolis, just because the stadium is so terrific. But my concern
is supposed to be a beautiful work of art.
Yeah, my concern is that the Packers' first game is September 5th at Chicago with the Bears, and the second game is with Minnesota. And I think I don't want to predict anything until I see the outcomes of these two games, because I think that's going to really tell us what's happening with the Packers this year. I don't think they're putting the talent around Aaron Rodgers that he needs.
I think the Packers have a down year, and I think they'll be lucky to go 9-7.
They can't afford another down year with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, I think Aaron's a great quarterback, but they need to put some people around him because, you know, he may have a contract until he's 40, but let's face it, you know, he's not going to be able to play top of his game in, you know, 3 years, 2 years, well, 3 years. So they need people now. They really, they can't afford a billion year. And, of course, I think that was the problem, as I thought, with McCarthy. I thought he was too cautious. I think he got rid of some players too quickly. I think that he relied too much on Aaron Rodgers and, you know, should have taken a few more chances too. But, you know, we shall see. I don't know why I'm more pessimistic this year. Last year was the first time we did not go to a Packers game in, I bet, 15 years or more. We always go to one or two. Last year their season was rotten. They just didn't have a good... Not this. I shouldn't say the season was rotten, but their schedule was really not good. This year, it's an interesting schedule, and I would have gone to the Dallas game. Unfortunately, instead of playing in that October 6th game, which is the one I wanted to see with the Dallas Cowboys, I thought it was going to be in Green Bay, but it's not. It's going to be in Dallas. So I was hoping to be in Wisconsin and then get to go to that game. So I don't know. Maybe the Giant game or the Philadelphia, because they play Philadelphia. I know they play Philadelphia.
The Eagles got lucky to get past Washington.
Didn't they?
I'm sorry, Chicago. They're going to open with the Redskins on Sunday, September 8th, and I think the Eagles do not have as tough a schedule this year as they had last year.
Well, you know when they play the Packers, but they're playing in Green Bay. Yeah, but they're playing that game in Green Bay.
That's a Thursday night game.
Right.
The kickoff is 8:20. I'm looking to be in my seat and watch at least the first half of that game. The Eagle game that intrigues me the most, besides the October 20th Eagles-Dallas game, is the October 13th Eagles-Vikings game in Minnesota, because the Eagles are on the road for both the Vikes and the Cowboys. And we're going to see more and more just whether Carson Wentz is really the real deal. I think the Eagles have tried to be very careful in player selection. They've avoided what I call the drama. They moved, unfortunately, Nick Foles, who went on to Jacksonville. So we no longer have a quarterback controversy. We've got a good backup in Nate Sudfield. So we don't have a drama like we've got with the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott, who is holding out because he wants a better contract, even though he signed for another 2 years. So what I'm thinking is that the Eagles are going to have a good season. They brought DeSean Jackson back. He and Carson Wentz have been sticking to each other like glue. They brought, Darryl Sproles, who's now 36 and is in his 15th season, is looking pretty good. He's healthy. He feels like he's ready to go now. The interesting thing also is the Eagles picked up a cornerback, a veteran, Crivion LeBlanc, who ended up getting hurt. The Eagles decided that their weakness was cornerback, so they loaded up there. But they have a healthy Sidney Jones, two good nickelbacks in Jones and LeBlanc. If LeBlanc recovered, he was on the injured list. It was announced last night, and hopefully he'll be back next week for practice, but they were going to rest him up for a couple of days. He might end up finding himself into the first preseason game, and hopefully that will work out a little bit better. The one thing, though, that I want to stress here is DeSean Jackson, who's now back with the Eagles again. Carson Wentz thinks this is the guy he wants to throw to as much as possible.
Well, if they could get that kind of combination that, that we need back for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron used to have at least four guys that he could throw to. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I would think that you have to be careful about with DeSean and Carson is if Carson doesn't have some other guys out there, because if everyone is always focused on DeSean Jackson, they're going to have a problem after a while.
Well, remember something. Not only do you have to deal with DeSean Jackson, you've got Alshon Jeffrey, another excellent
wide
receiver. And you've got a good tight end who can, with excellent hands and good speed, and makes a good leap, Dallas Goedert. Then you've got Zach Ertz, who came back at tight end. And they've got a couple who are going to audition.
Well, they're going
Matt
to have
Collins
to be.
And,
they're really.
Josh Adams.
They're going to have to be careful, and Deshaun is not going to be able to be a ball hog, because that the way that I've always seen Aaron Rodgers, as successful as he's been, is he when he had a lot of alternatives out there. And, of course, he was always someone who could scan the field and find the best guy. I mean, he usually was really good at doing that. How is Carson Wentz? I mean, how good is he to find the best possible guy out there to throw to? You know, instead of just...
How does Wentz do that?
Well, is he really good at doing that? In other words, when I've often seen that Rodgers is so exceptional because even if they think there's going to be a certain play, he can change it. And he can look to see if that's still the best play and whether or not he should throw to someone else. And that's a real talent that not all quarterbacks have.
Well, that's true, Pat, because you've got a real... you know, sometimes you have what I call the embarrassment of riches, particularly when you have somebody like an Aaron Rodgers, who is a wonderful quarterback, and he had a lot of guys to throw to, and unfortunately, like Jordy Nelson, they aged out or got traded away. The Eagles have a different situation here, I think. The Eagles have... They still have Nelson Aguilar, and the trade rumors about Aguilar never seem to stop. There are teams that want him, and remember, he was a number one draft pick. He has improved dramatically since a tough rookie year. So I think Nelson Aguilar is going to find himself because he's really going to get pushed this year between Deshaun Jackson and Sproles. He's not going to see a lot of throws. I just have that feeling, unless he has matured his skill set in a different way. Aguilar, good height jumper, good hands with the ball. He's improved his route running. I want to see Aguilar really turn it up a couple of notches, because I've always liked the way he played. I always liked his style. I always liked that he worked hard, but there seemed to always be something missing. You would see he would have had a number of drops last year could have been caught,
and you
particularly
know,
in a Bears game.
And you know, when that happens, but the one thing that I've often, and this is different, again, with Rodgers, is he will keep throwing back to give whoever the dropper is. Is he the droppy or the dropper? The dropper, whoever it is, to build their confidence. And I've liked that about him, because you're right. There were a couple people that no longer are with the Packers because they just couldn't hang on to that ball. And my criteria is if I could catch it, they should be able to catch it.
Exactly, yeah. If they wake up at 2 in the morning and throw it to you, you're going to catch it. what I always wonder about with a lot of these guys is, you know, suddenly you're kind of getting shut out of the plays. Suddenly you're getting shut out of some of the regulars on the practice field. So maybe you're not getting the attention. I think Aguilar is a talented guy. I think somewhere along the line, the Eagles aren't giving him either the TLC or the tough love or the coaching. And yet he's going to, in the offseason, he's going to wide receiver camps and he's practicing with guys like Randy Moss, who have a universe of information and skill and technique to teach him. I'm pleased he's still with the team, but I am disappointed that they're not finding ways to use him more. The other thing the Eagles...
By the way, Randy Moss is not one of my favorite people
for
other
reasons.
Oh, I understand
that, but he's a talented guy.
He was a talented guy. Unfortunately, he, he got away with a lot of stuff. But before we end, the one thing I did want to ask you, because you're not going to be here next week, who do you predict will be traded before the the July 31st deadline.
Oh, for any predictions? Baseball?
Baseball. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're back at baseball.
We're back to baseball, aren't we?
Well, July 31st is their deadline.
Right. July 31st is the baseball trading deadline. I think that the Phillies and the Yankees are going to be desperate for pitching. And I could see the Yankees moving a number of the young guys that they have in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre.
No, I'm just talking about trading, though.
Trades.
Because that's not considered a trade.
No. But sometimes you package some of your younger guys in order to get an experienced pitcher.
Okay.
I'd like to see the Mets move Thor. I think they can get a lot for him. He's 28, 29. I think he is somebody who would help the Yankees because, frankly, the back end of the Yankee rotation is not good. I think Sabathia is going to break down. I think, you know, because of his age and because he's a durable guy. We just saw the Yankees get clobbered last night by the Red Sox. I think it was like 19-6 or something like that. It was a huge score.
It was amazing.
The Red Sox scored runs like they were eating popcorn.
They're making up for what happened in England.
That could very well be. But, you know, the Yanks are up in Fenway again tonight, and who knows where that's going. Pat, one of the things I think we should really consider here, too, is Cleveland is not out of it. The Minnesota Twins are still a good team. They're on first place. They've got an excellent record. I think the Twins are going to look to, you know, strengthen up. They've got a better pitching staff, I think, than the Yankees do right now. Mm. There's going to be some real competition here. The Dodgers, who everybody thought would run away with it, are still way out ahead. But, you know, it's summer, and it's late July, and, you know, the weather and the season and the traveling is just beginning to take its toll on some of these guys. Certainly they're young, fit, healthy guys, but on the other hand, eventually everybody realizes just what a long season it is.
Yeah, it is a long season.
It's like when you get to early December in football, just about everybody's banged up. You know, and with the Yankees, they've had injury after injury after injury.
Well, in fact, in football, I think that I don't think you can ever predict at the beginning of the year, you know, who's going to win because it's so dependent on the injuries.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's easy to say, well, the New England Patriots will do it all over again. Okay, that's nice.
Well, let's forget that exception. Maybe that's an exception. But for most of the teams, and frankly, what if somebody like Brady, even though he could be out the first few games of the season, I think that's different than if he had been out the last few games of the season. In other words, could they have pulled it off if he had been out instead of the beginning of the season, the end of the season?
I think so. I think so? I think this is a unique player and a unique man.
No, but if he had been out of the play, if he hadn't played the last four games,
right?
You think they still would have made it?
You know, Belichick finds a way to win. That's all I'm going to say.
That's true.
He finds a way to win. And, you know, if you can talk about the Yankees and you can talk about trades and things like that, and these teams.
So who would you like to see the Yankees getting?
Oh, gosh.
And who would you not like to see the Red Sox getting before the trade date?
That's kind of tough. That's kind of tough because. You know, I like Noah Syndergaard, who I call Thor. I am concerned that the Yankees' disaster last night with Tanaka showed just how desperate they really are. You know, Boone pulled him in the fourth inning of a Yankees 19-3 loss to the Red Sox up in Fenway.
Was it 19-3?
19-3.
Wow.
I mean, that was a thumping. This is.
I'm surprised John didn't come in to,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my I don't know what's keeping John from rubbing my nose in it, but, you know, it's time for the Yankees to figure this out. And the other thing, too, is, you know, they recalled lefty Stephen Tarpley from AAA Wilkes-Barre. And, you know, they really are going to need to have a parade of pitching. I'd like to see the Yankees pick up from Toronto Marcus Stroman or Zach Wheeler or Syndergaard from the Mets. And perhaps, you know, if we get Luis Severino and Dellin Betances back from the injured list.
Yeah, but why would these teams give up somebody as good as Syndergaard? I
exactly.
mean, for example, why would the
they
Mets
won't.
Do then?
The other thing I'm hoping for is the Yankees have a young man who's just been promoted to Wilkes-Barre, Scranton from Trenton, Davey Garcia, who is one heck of a pitcher. And, you know, the Yankees may find their salvation, for lack of a better word, inside their own organization, but you know.
So, are you saying that Davey has gone up to the Yankees?
He came out of Trenton,
right?
He was drawing 5,000 people to watch him pitch, and then we had.
But is he? Did he? Is he up to the Yankees now?
He is not with the Yankees yet. He's at Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
Oh, okay.
Which is AAA ball, and he seems to be doing very well there. But the Yankees are really, really, really struggling. And I think it's, I think their pitching is tough. You know, the Yankees even had to use a catcher to pitch in one of these innings.
Oh, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's very, very, very tough right now because the starters are brutal right now. They're really
well,
tough.
And in some of these games, you know, they don't have enough pitchers. If they're taking pitchers out in, you know, after a couple innings. You know, it's bad enough, and of course, you know me. I go back to many, many years ago when, you know, you didn't have a starter and a middle guy and a, you know, at the end. I mean, you just, you know, you saw pitchers pitch until they really had to be taken out of a game. And if they pitched the whole game, you know, that was what we were used to seeing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Giants have woken up. They started to play better, so they're making a qualifying offer on Madison Baumgartner and try to get into the wild card seat in the National League. Also, the Indians can try to do this with Trevor Bauer and then trade him in the offseason, and, you know, prices are not going to drop. And why would any seller who sees the way the Yankees' rotation is blown up this week want to do them any favors?
No, I can't imagine.
And, you know, over the past years, the Yankees have been careful. They refused to go outside their value determination to determine a player. They wouldn't go beyond 3 years for the top free agent starter target, Patrick Corbin, who got 6 years from the Nationals. And they wouldn't give the Braves $13 million that the Braves guaranteed in season to Dallas Keuchel. So I think these are going to haunt the Yankees in the playoffs. But, you know, the Yankees lead right now is so substantial that I don't think they're going to do anything crazy. They've got guys potentially coming off the injured list. And they're not looking to reach October. They're looking to win in October. So there may not be the true impact starter that they need, but these guys may get healthy. And, you know, they're comfortably ahead in the American League East. Even though there might not be a true first-class ace available, they're going to risk wearing out their bullpen, and they use their bullpen a heck of a lot. So, you know, a lot of teams in a market for relief pitching. The Yankees don't need to make a splash, but I think the Yankees have to be creative and responsible. Their hope, you know, because of the injuries, they don't have Severino or Betances, and they've got that young guy in Scranton now. So it seems to me that the Yankees have the ability, to do this internally. It may not hurt them. They're rolling the dice. There's no question about that. But on the other hand, you know, take a team like the Phillies. They looked very strong for a long time. And they've since slumped down to third place behind the Braves and the Nationals. You can't do it alone with Jake Arrieta. The other Phillies pitching staff has to really step up and get to another level. Plus, the Philly relief corps is not what they had hoped. I liked Aaron Nola as a starter. I think he had a better season last year. But it's really tough when you begin to think about just how good, what a promising season Philadelphia could have had and still can have, but for the fact that the Braves have picked up Dallas Kuchel. The Nationals are playing very well also now, suddenly, after slumping in the beginning. There's an old saying in baseball, you can't win a pennant in April, but you sure could lose it.
That's true. Well, talking about losing, I think we're about to be replaced, so why don't we go to the news, and what we'll see is Bill back here in 2 weeks to talk about the Steelers and what it was like to watch, what do they call that, the practice camp?
Friday Night Lights.
No, but the practice camp.
It's a practice scrimmage, Friday Night Lights.
But you're going to go more than once, aren't you?
Oh, we're going to go, we're going to watch the practice Friday night, because they have fan-related events during the day. We're going to try to get into the Steelers Legends autograph tent. My brother-in-law is hoping for a Rocky Blyer. I don't know whether that'll happen
or
not.
Well, what you should do is find out where, what hotel they're staying at, because I won't go into it now, but we happen to stay at the hotel where the players and other, not the players, but the other older players and everybody was staying. And it was amazing because, Dave sat down, talked to players that he knew back from, Green Bay. And, these older guys were really, very happy to talk to people and happy that people still remembered them. So in any event, let's us go to news, and I'm sure then they'll cut off the news instead of cutting off us. If I can find the news. Here we go. So see you in 2 weeks, Bill.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Vice President Mike Pence is in Jacksonville, Florida, touring and speaking at the Miller Electric Company in Jacksonville.
We've unleashed American energy, and now are a net exporter of oil and natural gas to the world. We've had free and fair trade deals being negotiated, including the USMCA that goes before Congress soon, and this president signed the largest tax cuts and tax reform in American history. That's what we call promises made and promises kept, Florida.
Speaking at the Oval Office on Friday, President Trump goes after Democrats who are continuing to investigate him.
2.5 years we've watched this, and that's the best they have, and it's a disgrace. And the world is laughing at him.
Those comments as Democrats say there's no set rules on how to go forward with impeachment. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrim for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, I additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.